Today's scripture is Luke 24, verses 44-53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord.
So my friends, I had decided to start this sermon with a story that I'd been reading. And the story is about people in the Congo in Africa. And as I woke up and I was looking through my news feed this morning, I don't know that many of y'all know, but the Congo is experiencing a pretty hard outbreak of Ebola right now. And so I didn't want to bring up this story without first giving us a time to sort of just lift some prayers up to those communities there, because it's a pretty big outbreak of a pretty serious strain, and they really don't even have a handle on it yet. And I think there's already close to 100 people who have died from that outbreak. So let's just pray together. O holy and living God, we lift up the folks in Congo who are just experiencing devastation and illness and loss. Lord, we pray that your healing, comes upon them, Lord, that they experience your grace and your mercy, and that we can provide aid to them as they endure this most recent outbreak. So, Lord, our hearts are heavy. We know you are with them, Lord. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I told you, there's a story I've been reading recently, and it's a story of a missionary family that takes up residence in the Congo. And at the time, the historical context for this story is that Belgium is actually the ruling colonial power at the time, but they have decided to withdraw, to give the Congolese their independence. So the Congo will be free for the first time in a long time. Now, one of the daughters of this missionary family was surprised to learn that the Congolese system of government was very different than what they had been experiencing with the Belgian method of specifically voting in candidates for office. So the Belgian system of government is not that different from ours, right? Somebody decides they want to run for office, they try to gain support, and if they can win the majority of votes, right, they get in. Now, in the Congolese system, all that is needed, get this, is basically absolute consensus from a community. You heard that right. In the Congolese system, before somebody can be elected leader or before a major shift can happen in a village, the whole community, just about the whole community, has to agree. Not just two-thirds, right? Not just the majority, but every voting member of the village. I thought this was fascinating. And their reasoning for this, and it kind of makes sense, is, well, why would we want somebody to lead who essentially leaves half the village unhappy, right? So instead, what they do is Congolese come together, they talk, they make deals, they argue until they are pretty much all in agreement, and only then do they settle on a leader and a direction. I want you to just kind of imagine that for just a moment. Could you imagine, how would anything happen? How would anything happen on time? Is it even possible, I think, to get anything done at all? Or, maybe closer to my heart, can you imagine all the waiting that has to happen? All that in-between time from knowing the task in front of you to looking ahead at what you know is going to happen. We will be led by somebody. But there is a lot of waiting, I think, that must happen in the Congolese system. And that's the aspect, I think, that helped me think about our scripture reading today. If you recall, Jesus tells the disciples, "You are witnesses. You are witnesses of the rise, fall, and resurrection of my life. And from this moment on," from that moment, the moment that they see him go up into the sky, Jesus says, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins are to be proclaimed to all nations." And I think that's really good news. The essence of God's presence in the world is to be proclaimed as mercy. But then, Jesus gives them a very specific set of instructions. Stay here in Jerusalem. Stay here in the city until you've been clothed with the power on high. In other words, wait. Wait together. And the disciples know what's happened. They know that Jesus has been appearing to them. Jesus has been alive. And they've now watched him as far as they could see him go into the sky. And they receive their marching orders. As the scripture says, they feel pretty happy about those things. And now they wait. Now they go back into the city and wait. So let me just speak for myself when I say, waiting's hard. I don't know that it's gotten any easier, even now. All my life, I have been told to wait. And I cannot tell you how frustrated I get when I'm still told to wait. Morris, you have a confession? We'll go. Right? When you're growing up, it's like, wait till you have your dinner to have dessert, right? For me, playing the trombone, getting really excited about that. No. Wait till you learn all 12 major scales before you go and play the Star Wars theme, right? Wait until you're 16 to drive. Wait till you have a full-time job, and then you can buy anything you want, right? Or my personal favorite from my parents, wait till you have kids. And then you'll understand. Right. I think we're all familiar with those moments. I want you just for a moment, think of some moments in your life where you are being told, where you are being invited to wait. And just lean over to the person next to you and tell them, in frustration, this is what I have to wait. You know, the disciples hearing these instructions to hang tight, I think that must have been confusing to them. They were probably not feeling all that safe at this time. Jesus had been crucified, if you recall. The reassurance of Jesus' presence, his risen presence, now changing right in front of their eyes. And all we know, as we know, the realization of a change in the presence of someone close to us sometimes can take a lot of time to sink in. And the scripture conveys elation and praise. They are happy. But I think we can be certain that reality will sink in for them. Jesus is not with them anymore like he was. They are in similar positions as before. Except now, the same authorities that had arrested Jesus, the same oppressive government that existed, and the reality that they are now recognizable followers of Jesus, well, that may hit a little closer to home for them. Because Jesus is no longer there as a physical buffer. But not all waiting is hard because of the anticipation of what comes next. Some waiting is hard because of the dread of what the future may hold. And I think it's reasonable to suspect that the disciples were confronting both types of waiting. And I've always wondered about this scripture because of the autonomy and the power that we give to the Holy Spirit in our own words. Why couldn't Jesus have just gifted them the Holy Spirit right there at Bethany? I don't actually know the answer. If any of y'all do, please share it in your free time. But what we do know is that Jesus doesn't. We do know that he instructs the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. So I think we must ask ourselves, is there something in the waiting that is formative to us? Is there something in these in-between moments that we are supposed to see, embrace? And as we've sort of leaned into, we are not a very patient society. See, while I personally love to consider myself immune to impatience, my recent move to a new home has reminded me that I'm still not very patient. I want to do all the things to the house, and I want to do them now. I want to paint that wall. I want to take up that sink. I want to put new flooring. I want to plant those plants over there. I want everything to be miraculously clean, and I want that right now. Actually, I wanted it yesterday. I was hoping the person who sold us the house would do all those things for us, right? And I don't think I'm alone in these impulses. So this verse is convicting because a new reality, as it always seems to be, is upon us. Something new is coming. And Jesus is asking us to what? Wait. And I think about this in the context of our faith community. You know, I am so excited about all the things happening in this faith community. What you see on the bulletin is sort of like the iceberg that's just breaking the surface, right? There is so much more happening that I'm so excited to share with you. So a lot of y'all know it because you're involved in it day after day. So not only is Buda the city changing rapidly, but we have to know that the world around us is changing rapidly as well. And still, the lectionary saw fit, powers that be, to give us this scripture where Jesus essentially just says, hang on. Hang tight. Hang tight until you are clothed with power on high. But we are yet in another in-between time. I think something beautiful about the Congolese story is that the in-between time for them highlights a fundamental difference in how people choose to gather while they wait. For them, the movement of gathering for consensus is different than the movement to gather for results. And this hit home for me the other day. I was, one of the things that I feel like as a culture, we are always being told, get ready, it's coming. AI is going to take over, right? Jobs are going to change. Society will be different. There'll be, everyone will get paid a certain amount of money. It'll be great, right? This is the future that we are waiting for. It's always right, always coming. Well, I was listening to a podcast about the AI arms race right now, if we can call it that, between the U.S. and China. Of course, this is something that's probably a little more right in front of us because our president just visited China, right? So we're talking about this. But one comment I found convicting is the podcaster's characterization of the two countries' practical approaches to AI. China is moving more slowly with AI. And many American leaders use this fact as reassurance to the American people, right? We are ahead. Our AI models are more eloquent, they're more efficient, they're more powerful. And just as I was getting happy to hear all of this, right, he then posed this next question, which I think is pertinent to our scripture. He says, but what if that's because our fundamental motivations are actually different? What if China is not actually moving more slowly? What if speed is simply not their motivation? Not toward the best and most efficient and the highest AI model possible, but actually toward practical uses of technology and commodities that the public will actually buy. And this whole thing got me thinking about the virtues of this in-between time. Right? AI is coming. How it's going to look, that's anybody's best guess. Go listen to a few podcasts. You can generate a couple of ideas about that. But even as a country, we can embrace this in-between time. We're not quite there yet. We can embrace the pause, not toward efficiency, not toward production, but perhaps maybe toward a shared identity. See, one reason I think that Jesus may have asked the disciples to hang tight is so that their gathering would become a time of deep discernment and the fortification of who they were going to be in the world together. Not to race out to the public to enact miracles and works, not in a hurry to fill the world with what is best and most efficient, but a time to gather to know who they are. So that when they've finally clothed with power, however that looks, they could go into the world. Not certain about future events, but certain about who they were supposed to be together. And in the end, if I look back on my own life personally, that feels like wisdom. Waiting does not have to be this dreadful state that we sometimes make it out to be. Whether we are waiting in anticipation of things to come or waiting in dread, we can always wait and gather to remind ourselves about who we are and whose we are. See, the mercy that we receive, the mercy that we are to share, we do not gather as a people of God for results. We do not gather for production purposes. We gather for consensus about the love of Christ, which, as the scripture makes clear, is to be poured out to all nations, to all people. And who we are to be in the coming world will always reflect how we choose to gather right now. In other words, how we wait, my friends, shapes who we become. How we wait together shapes who we are becoming. And we are a people forged by repentance and forgiveness. And as you all know, repentance and forgiveness, well, that takes a lot of time, doesn't it? Our merciful outlooks characterize our obedience to Christ. So may these in-between times, may these times that we are asked to wait in whatever station of life that we find ourselves be sacred. May we learn from them. May we invite others into them. May we be certain about who we are in an ever-changing world. May we know that we are harbingers of mercy in word, in deed, and in proclamation. Let us pray. O holy and living God, the world changes so quickly around us. We feel like we don't have control. We feel like we can't catch up. We feel like we don't know what to expect. Lord, we pray together that you instill in us a sense of your mercy and grace for us, that it is constant. It is with us regardless of the world changing around us, Lord. So help us to wait. Help us to be patient. So that when you call us into the world that you are bringing about, we can better point to your grace, mercy, and love. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.